Good morning. So we are continuing on. We're doing a series for a month. If that's news for you, we're doing a series for a month where we're going to be looking at, and we've already looked at, Malcolm kicked off last week, of looking at the importance of investing in our youth and our young people of the church. So I've been given the snazzy title of intergenerational discipleship. Wow. So as a church, we are still looking for our Ignite director. And part of the vision for this Ignite director isn't to have the Ignite director as the superhero that's going to ride in one day. They're going to see the advert soon, and they're going to ride in, and they're going to say, I am here, take a rest. I am here, I am going to save the day. I am going to raise all your children up. They're going to be strong in the Lord, and they're going to go out in the mission of God. I am here. We are not waiting for that. What we are waiting for is someone who can come in and build up and encourage us and the Ignite team to carry on investing in our youth and our young people. So it's not about the ministry of one person, but it's actually about the ministry of the whole church. And that Ignite director is simply going to come along and help equip us, encourage us, and stir us up to carry on going in investing and training up and discipling our youth and young people. So intergenerational discipleship, it takes a whole church and it takes a whole family of God to do discipleship. I think Malcolm mentioned last week, and I love this quote of that it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it takes a church, a whole church, to raise a disciple. It's not up to the vicar. It's not up to someone who's spent a bit more time with the Lord to do it. It's a whole church. It's all of us that raise up discipleship within us and amongst us. So it's a whole church and it's a whole family. And intergenerational, what I love about this word is that we could easily say multi-generational, that we've got lots of generations in this church, and we have at St. Mary's. But what multi-generational is, it's just that we've got lots of people of all ages, and we meet together on a Sunday, and look, oh, there's a young person over there, and look, oh, another old person. We've got all the ages in our church, and that's good. But we want to be intergenerational. And what intergenerational is that it's all the ages represented in the family, but inter is connected. It's about being in relationship with one another. So it's not just about the fact that we see a few young people now and then, but we want to strive and invest and be a church that are in relationship across the ages. So I wonder, are you in relationship with someone who's younger than you? Safeguarding permitting, obviously. But are you in relationship in this church with someone beyond your age group? Because this is what intergenerational discipleship is. It's about, first and foremost, being in relationship with one another beyond just gathering in a room. And I believe that when we see this intergenerational, this connectedness, this relationship across the generations, we begin to see a healthy and flourishing church. And we begin to see mission and evangelism happen in a way that we've never seen before, because we've got all the ages involved in the mission of God. And it forms a healthy church. And the world is already speaking of the effects, of the good effects of all generations coming together. The BBC has been impacted and full of documentaries lately of scientists coming back with studies showing that when we're in relationship across the ages, actually we flourish in the age that we are. There's recently been a documentary on about toddlers going into homes and spending time with the elderly or people who are struggling with dementia. And they've seen just the simple fact of these toddlers coming in, not just putting on a show for them, but coming in and having a relationship with these people. They are seeing the turnaround, and they're seeing the effects of dementia lower. They're seeing a change in these people. We're seeing younger people who are being sent out to spend time with other ages, people older than them, and we're seeing anxiety levels drop because younger people are spending time with older people in relationship. Now, if this is what science is saying, that is good for us physically and our well-being, how much more would it happen if we did this spiritually? If we invested relationally, but we invested in exploring the Word of God together, of worshipping together, of pouring in our hearts to one another, I wonder what sort of church we would see. I wonder how much more we would run for the Lord all the days of our lives. Psalm 145, I love it. It says, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." I love that. That's all generations in relationship with one another. This would have happened over dinner. This would have happened over coming together, of declaring, isn't God good? Do you know this God? Of declaring his mighty acts. And it sustains and it builds one another up in the faith. I had one of those scary meetings this week. For those of you who've read the notice sheet, you'll know we are adopting. And we had this scary meeting when the social worker says, "Can I take your children to another room to ask them some questions without you, please?" Sure. And obviously we sat in a room where we would be able to hear everything. And I heard they asked all these questions, "How do you feel about this little one coming to live with you?" And they were like, "Yeah, yeah." And then they asked this question to the girls, "What are you most excited about your little brother coming to live with you?" And I honestly, this is not a reflection of much input on my part, but Maya turned round and she said, "I am looking forward to teaching him about Jesus." And I wonder how much is that on our heart? If you sat in a room with someone and they said, "What are you most excited about in life?" In seeing people come to church, in going where you go in the week, would your answer be, "I'm excited about teaching and telling them about Jesus"? Because that was a challenge for me. Even as a parent, I can be wanting to teach them about good manners, about being good citizens of the world, of saving their pocket money, not spending it all on silly £1 things at Sainsbury's. Is my main aim and my main goal for my children and for my relationship with you and each other here today, is my main aim that I can tell you and teach you about Jesus? And this is something that needs to be at the forefront of our hearts, that we want people to know about Jesus, that we want to tell and teach people about Jesus. So we're going to go on to the 2 Timothy scripture, because this is really showing us of someone who's been taught the ways of Jesus. So we're going to start at verse 14. So if you've got your Bibles, let's open that up. So verse 14, it says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have heard it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So, "but as for you," it starts off with "as for you." This is Paul talking to Timothy. He's saying, this is "as for you, Timothy." I'm talking to you, Timothy. And this is a relationship that Paul has with Timothy. And I speak about this in a little moment, about this mentoring relationship. And he's reminding Timothy. Timothy's a young lad, really, out doing the work of the Lord. And he's reminding him, "But as for you, Timothy, in this time of deception. There's such deception happening in this time. If you read further beyond, before you get to this point in chapter 3, there's a big list of things that could be happening in the culture and the world around Timothy at that time. There's drunkenness, there's adultery, there's all these things going on, and there are teachers who are deceiving the people of the Lord. I don't know about you, but it reminds me of where I feel like when I send my kids to university. I would want to send them this letter. But as for you, remember, in this world of where there's going to be all lots of messages coming around and being sent to you in this of destruction around you. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of. That Paul is reminding Timothy, continue. And I love this because in this place of where it's sort of make and break for this church, really, that Timothy is heading up, that he says, continue in. It's not that, do you remember that great seminar that we went to last week, Timothy, when you grew up a little bit and we did the deeper things of the Lord? He doesn't say that. He says, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of. This is talking about continue in the things that you learned from when you were little, from when you were young. And this continuing is, he's talking about a twofold thing here. That is continuing in that parenting relationship that he had, and also the mentoring relationship that he had with Paul. So Timothy has come from a home where his grandmother Eunice and his mother Lois have taught him things in the Lord. He was raised in a community, in a village, where he would have been taught the things of the Lord. In Proverbs 22, it says, train a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it. That Eunice and Lois have poured in the scripture into Timothy's life. And this is the scripture that brought him to a place that when he heard Paul speak of the Messiah, Jesus, he was in a place, his heart was prepared to respond and to react to that message of Jesus. So I want to encourage us here today that if you're a parent of a child, a grandparent of a child, or that you know a child, to keep going, pouring in the things of the Lord into their life. And what I love about Paul telling Timothy about this stage of his life, of this life, do you remember, you know, the people that you know and that you trusted, and the people that poured in the scriptures in your infancy? What I love about it is that it's about the people that you know and you trust. This is what's going to help you grow and to understand in this climate that he's in, to understand and discern what's going on. But what I love about it is it's come from a place of where Timothy would have known and grown in the things of the Lord by living and seeing people live it out around them. That this was a time where people were called that if you wanted to live the Holy Scriptures, it wasn't just about reading and learning them, but it was about it encompassing your whole life, that their whole routine of life would have been filled and shaped around the Holy Scriptures. And Timothy would have seen his family and the whole village live out this way of life. It's a daily living that shapes and transforms our young people around us. And I love the early church, that it's described as, the early church wasn't described as the Christians, but they were described as, oh, they're the people of the way. Those people live the way. They're the people of the way. They're the people that live the way of Jesus. And we're also to be people who live the way of Jesus. Because believe me, our youth and our young people are always watching. Just not what they learn in their groups or what they learn at their Bible study. When they see someone live out the good news of Jesus, it impacts them in a way that will change them and set them on a way of life forever. And I wonder, are we being people who are living out the good news of Jesus in all the realms of our lives? In 1 Corinthians 11, it talks about Paul saying, he says, like, be an imitator of me because I imitate Christ. That as we imitate Christ, people will begin to watch us and they will begin to see Jesus in that. So are we living the way? Are we encouraging people through the way? When I first became a parent, so I wasn't raised in the faith. I didn't grow up with this luxury of having Christian parents, of coming to church as a child. So in my way, I was a little child at 21, 22, coming into church, and I needed spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers and grandparents and cousins and uncles, whatever, to show me the way to live this truth that I read about in the Bible. And then fast forward a little bit later, I was a new mum trying to work out how to do discipleship with these two little girls. But honestly, I was talking about, how do I share faith now with other people? I'm caught up with these two children. I don't get to go out to groups and teach people about anything anymore. And I wanted to tell you this morning about my friend Alan, who is in his late 70s, and he drives a taxi. And I was at this train station one day with my girls, just wondering, how do I do discipleship in this moment? And Alan pulls up in his taxi, and I thought, should he even be driving this taxi? He's meant to be retired. And he said, hop in. And we got driving and we went around, and it was in this moment that Alan decides to live his faith publicly. I said, Alan, why are you still driving your taxi? I thought you had retired. And he simply said, we was at St. John's at the time, welcome to St. John's on the road. And it was such an encouragement because he was living out his faith beyond a Sunday. And he just shared about how for him, for his way of living out Jesus, he said, I'm not the best teacher, not the best preacher, I'm not the best prayer, but what I can do is I can run this taxi, I can pick up people, he has a little worship music playing, I can pick up people and I can tell them about Jesus. And that's simply what he did. Now, I was at theological college at that time, having great lecturers come in and teach me all about how to do the Christian faith. I was doing church placements here, there and everywhere. But in this little moment with Alan in his taxi, he taught me more about discipleship that goes beyond a Sunday, that's in everyday life. He taught me so much in that little moment of him just simply revealing and showing how he holds Jesus and tells people about Jesus in his little life. And I remember coming out of that taxi feeling like, I know how to do discipleship now. I just simply share Jesus wherever I'm at, whether it's at a toddler group or rocking at home, that's where I get to share Jesus. So I want to encourage you, whatever stage of life you're at, to simply be people who share Jesus, who equip and invest in people around you. So there's that parenting and coming alongside people. And I want to encourage you as a church that me and Mark are both vicars and we've got children. We have not got it down. We need the investment of the whole church to come alongside us and to invest in our children. We simply had a moment this week where we had the Stepping Up group, they're the young youth group, and they came to our home. And they decided to worship out in the garden, a beautiful moment of worshiping out in our garden. Now, I've told the girls about worship, and I'm like, come to church, we need to worship, we need to do this. And I didn't know, but throughout that whole worship, Caitlin had sat on her windowsill and simply watched the whole evening. She got to bed rather late. She simply watched the whole evening of other people living out the faith, of younger people living out the faith. And she started to understand and get it a little bit more. And it was simply from someone seeing somebody else live out the faith. And I want to encourage us to be people who live it out, but also people who invest in our younger people. It's such a blessing when somebody else decides to love our children, when somebody else decides to sit with them and come alongside them in church and tell them about Jesus, to tell them about how they pray, how they read the scriptures, of the things that Jesus has done in your life. It is such a blessing to a parent, because believe me, they listen to what I say, but if someone else says it, even though I've been saying the same thing, if someone else says it, they get it and they understand it. So I want to encourage you to be people that come alongside. And then there's Timothy, who is also mentored by Paul. We see that Paul has invested in Timothy. Paul has seen something in Timothy, and he's decided to really invest in him and to nurture and to grow him in the faith. And there will be people in this church who we're called to invest in. And there's people that we're called to go to and to ask to invest in us. So there's that mentoring element in this scripture today. And I wonder, are you being invested in during this time? Are you investing in anyone? And we see in this chapter three, that Paul talks about, you know all about me. You know how I love, you know how I do life, and I have given it all to you. I've shown you everything I have. Now continue, keep going. And I wonder, as Maya sat that day with the little bit of Jesus that she knows, and she's willing to give it all away to her adopted brother, I wonder, the Jesus you know, the discipleship that you've experienced so far as being a child of God, how much of it have we given away? How much have we shown other people? How much have we taught other people? This is how I pray. This is how I love Jesus. Are we willing to give it away? Because Paul said, this is all of it. Have it, Timothy, and go for it. I want you to outrun me. I want you to outdo me. I've given you absolutely everything I know. I've invested and I've given to you. And what I love about this simple mentoring is this. It's encouragement. Mentoring, at the baseline of mentoring is encouragement. And I know if I asked today, can all of you sign up to mentor someone? I reckon the response would be, oh, I don't know that much. Oh, I haven't got a degree in the Bible. Oh, I've only been a Christian for a few months. I wonder if that would be the responses. But what I love is when you look at Paul, most of his mentoring is the simple baseline of encouraging. Keep going and recognizing when the Lord is at work in someone's life. In 1 Timothy 4, he simply encourages Timothy by saying, do not neglect the gift in which he was given through that prophetic message, through the laying of hands. He saw that journey of Timothy, and he said, I saw the gift that was in you. I saw the people pray for you. Don't neglect it. Keep going. It's encouragement. In 2 Timothy 1:6, he says, don't neglect this gift, but fan into flame the gift of God that is within you. He's saying again, I see what you're called to. I know what you're gifted in. Now keep going. Fan into flame that gift that is within you. And then he says that Paul sees Timothy, and he says in 1 Timothy 6, he says, I've seen and I've watched you grow into the man of God that you are today. I wonder if we can do that. I wonder if we can find people of all ages. I'm not saying you've got to go and find a young person, but that would be great. But to go across all the ages, and I wonder if you can go and encourage someone in the Lord this week. If you can find a young people that you recognize a gift upon, and you can say, keep going. You're doing really well. Because that is simply mentoring. I have a mentor, and she is way ahead of me. And sometimes I think all we do is have coffee and she tells me how great I am. But you know what? It is such a valuable coffee, that coffee. Because it really does stir up the gift, and it opens up a place for the Holy Spirit to keep moving in me. So I want to encourage us this Sunday. to recognise that we are an intergenerational church, to really pursue relationship across all the ages. Let's not wait for this superhero Ignite director, which I don't know is meant to be this superhero person. Let's not wait for them, but let's invest in one another. Let's encourage one another, and let's build up one another. So I want to encourage you, look for people and to hold it gently in your hands, that gift that Jesus has given you, and say, how can I give it away this week? Who can I tell about Jesus? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for family. We thank you for the young, the old, and the in-between. Father, I thank you that all of us are valuable to you. And I ask, Holy Spirit, the one who unites and binds us together, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will begin a deep work in us, that you will bind us together, not out of duty, but out of love, and that we will invest in one another and grow one another, that we might see your kingdom come and to see this whole earth filled with your glory, through the youngest to the oldest. In Jesus' name, amen.